Well, good morning, everyone. Bring you greetings in Jesus' name and welcome to the worship service here at Ridgeview this morning. I'm glad to see some visitors here, people I don't know. Thank you for coming, and I know that God has something for you this morning, and hopefully you've already got something from the service this morning. I appreciated the devotion, Steve. I was thinking about how we all find ourselves in different places in life. Some of us maybe don't feel like we have the strength to arise when God tells us to arise. And I was thinking about the verse on the board here, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And in that passage Steve read, there was a verse that talked about God making his mighty arm bare. And this morning, wherever you find yourself, if you don't feel like you have the strength to arise, be assured that God has an arm that can help you arise. This morning I'd like to introduce the topic that I'd like to speak about with an object lesson to start out with. And I brought two flashlights to church this morning. I don't usually bring flashlights to church, but this morning I brought two flashlights. They're about the same. One's a little bit taller than the other. A little different brand. They both have a zoom feature that you can focus the light a little bit different. One of them has an orange button on the end and the other has a green button on the end, but they're both sturdy little flashlights that look like they would come in handy if I got left in the dark somewhere, right? But you don't have to deal with flashlights very long to know they can be tricky little things. Some of them have a very bad habit of not working just when you need them the most. Has that ever happened to you? Any of you children pick up a flashlight? It didn't work for you? How do I know, children? Maybe one of you children could tell me. How about the girls tell me? How do I know if this flashlight's any good or if this flashlight's any good? One of you girls want to tell me? How do I go about finding that out? What do I do if I want to know if a flashlight's good or not? It's an easy answer. One of you is brave enough to say it. You turn it on. You just push the button. And these two flashlights, what do you know? This one let me down today. I press the button and nothing happens. And this flashlight, I press the button. Something happens. It lit up. So what does it tell me about a flashlight? When I press the button and something happens. Well, one of the things that it tells me is that if the light comes on when I press the button, it means there's something inside that flashlight that's good. It means the battery is charged. And if I take this flashlight apart that isn't any good, I know what I'll find in here because I looked yesterday when I picked it up. But I've got batteries in there, and I don't know if you can see it from back there, but there's some corrosion on those batteries. I could take the batteries out and clean it up. I could probably make this flashlight work again. There's something wrong with the inside of this flashlight. It's got corrosion, the batteries are dead. So, what's my point with that this morning? What lesson can we learn from flashlights? One that does work, one that doesn't work. This morning, I'd like to draw a bit of a metaphor between you and I and these two flashlights. And children, a metaphor, I guess that's just a fancy way of saying a comparison. I'm going to draw a comparison between these two flashlights and you and I. You know, as I look across this audience, I see people that look a lot alike. You all look somewhat like me. We all have different features. You know, this flashlight doesn't have a pocket clip. This one does have a pocket clip, and it's got a green button instead of an orange button. People all have different features, but just like these two flashlights, we look a lot the same from the outside, especially when we're all dressed up in our Sunday clothes and our best. And I can't tell when I look at you and when you look at me, just from looking at you and comparing the features, what the state of your battery or your heart is. And I can't tell what's going to happen when your button gets pressed, so to speak. Are you going to light up, or are you going to let me down? Now, I said earlier that flashlights can be tricky things. And if I think that a flashlight can be a tricky thing, I'm not sure what the right word, what the right description is for the human heart. You know, this flashlight here, that's an inanimate object. That means it can't think. It's not self-aware. The flashlight doesn't know what will happen when I pick it up and I press the button. But unlike that flashlight, you and I, we're responsible to know what happens when somebody picks us up and presses the button, if I may use that metaphor. We're responsible to know what the state of our battery or our heart is. You know, this reminds me of a well-known verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And what Jeremiah is saying there is that it's really, really difficult for us to know exactly what's in our heart. Another way of saying that verse is the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. That's your and my heart. Who really knows how bad it is? And as that verse tells us, it's really very difficult for us to know our own heart. We're capable of convincing ourselves of almost anything about ourselves, either true or false. I think that's a true statement. If you tell yourself something is true for long enough, you can make yourself believe that it is the truth, even though it is actually not the truth. Is it possible for us to believe that our heart is in great condition, that our batteries are charged, when it's actually not? Think about that question. I believe that in some ways it can be. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about that. Proverbs 28, verse 26, Solomon tells us, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And this is a problem that you and I have to deal with. As I said earlier, we're responsible to know the condition of our heart. But like Solomon says, if you trust your own heart, you're a fool. So we have this problem on our hands. How do I know the condition of my heart, of my own heart? And then if my heart is in bad shape, if I find out that my heart's in bad shape, how can it become healthy again? I'd like to spend some time answering these questions from the scripture this morning. That's what I'd like to speak about. How do I know the condition of my heart? And how do I improve the condition of my heart? For an opening text, I would like you to turn with me to Proverbs 23. And I'd like to read you two verses from Proverbs 23 here. In verses 6 and 7 in Proverbs 23, Solomon gives us a scenario here where you're at the house of somebody for a meal. And I'm going to read these two verses to you. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he saith to thee, but his heart is not with me." So, as Solomon is picturing you and I, we're at the house of somebody who's a stingy person. That's what it means when it says somebody who has an evil eye. You're there for a meal. And even though you know that this individual, this person that invited you over, this person that is sharing with you, is not sharing willingly, you know that it's somebody who's stingy. He's, with his mouth, he's telling you, eat and drink, take all you want, help yourself. In verse 7, Solomon gives us some important wisdom about other people, and more importantly, about ourselves. He says this, don't be fooled by the graciousness of a person like this, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe this bit of wisdom is the basis to understanding my own heart. And really, that's all that needs to be said this morning. I could probably sit down and you think about that today and in the coming days, and you would come to understand that. But I'm going to explain this, what it means to me, a little bit more. If you're looking for a title for our consideration today, I've chosen this phrase, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I said this little bit of wisdom from Solomon is the basis, it's the foundation of understanding our own heart. And this brings me to the first point this morning. My first main point is that your heart defines your character. And by character, I'm talking about the person that you are. Your heart, what's deep inside you, this deceitful thing, this tricky thing that the Bible talks about, that defines the person that you are. So, if my heart defines who I am, how do I find out what the condition of my heart is? Well, there's a number of ways. The first one we can find in Proverbs 4, verse 23. And you can turn with me to that verse. It's a well-known verse. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that verse mean? Well, I think what Solomon is telling us there is that choices reveal your heart. Your choices reveal your heart. That's what Solomon is talking about when he mentions the issues of life, the choices that you make, the trajectory of your life. The choices that you and I make in life come from our heart, whether we want to believe that or we'd rather ignore it. And I think one of the easiest ways for me, for you and I, to know our own heart is to look back over the past months and years of your life, of my life. Think about the choices that you made. Those choices tell a story, and the story is about your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Another way that your heart is revealed in your character is your actions. For this, you can turn with me to Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I already read Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And that's that familiar verse where Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then he goes on in verse 10 to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And from this verse, I take that your actions reveal your heart. Your choices are an action. But there's more to your actions than just the major choices that you made over the past. Your actions on a day-to-day basis reveal where your heart is. And as I read this verse, is it fair to say that God judges our hearts by our actions? This verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. This verse tells us that God tries the reins. What does that mean? Well, it gives me the picture of someone who's riding a horse and he pulls the rein one way to see if the horse is going to obey the command that he gave it. And I've been on a horse where I pulled the rein and the command wasn't obeyed. So, God tries our reins. Could I say that God presses your button, just like when I pick up the flashlight and I press the button? God tries your reins to see how you'll react. And the actions, the reactions that come from our lives tell us, they tell me where my heart is. You know, the more of life I see, the more I believe that our reactions in moments of stress, moments of crisis, show us our true heart. I often want to excuse my actions personally because I was under stress. Have you ever said or made the excuse to yourself that what I did was in the heat of the moment? I said something I know I shouldn't have, but I said it in the heat of the moment, and so, sorry. I'll do better next time. Let's be honest with ourselves. Times of stress, times of crisis, reveal the best of the best in us, or they reveal the worst in us. Think about, consider that with me. Maybe those are the moments when God tries the reins. God gives a tug to see what your reactions are. And those actions, my actions, I'm talking about understanding the condition of my own heart, not understanding the condition of the people around you necessarily. Understanding the condition of my own heart, one of the ways I can do that is by my actions and my reactions when things go wrong. Another way that my heart is revealed is by my words. And for this one, you can turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20, Jesus was teaching here. I'd like to read this passage. Start here at verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And verse 18 is the one that I've focused on here. Jesus clearly teaches that those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. You know, it's possible for us to be deceitful for a time, just like that stingy host that Solomon talked about in Proverbs in the opening, the verses I read in the opening there. He was telling the person that he had over to eat and drink, take plenty, make yourself at home, but his heart wasn't in it. So his words were deceitful. It's possible for us to be deceitful for a time, but our hearts always will eventually come out in our words. You know, this becomes most obvious when our choices and our actions, the two other things that I said define or show us our own hearts, don't line up with the words that we say. It becomes obvious that our heart isn't right when our words say one thing and our actions say another thing, even if the words are right. If I say the right things, but my choices and my actions don't line up, I'm a hypocrite. I'm like a flashlight that looks great until you press the button and nothing happens. There's something wrong inside. So if we're honest with ourselves, everyone here, myself included, has areas in their heart that can and should be improved. We're needy people. And one of our needs is to constantly guard our hearts and maintain them, like Solomon said in Proverbs 4 there. How do we go about that? You know, in this world, there's many, many people who try to maintain their heart. They try to win this battle for their heart and their own strength. My second main point of the morning is that you can't win the battle by yourself. And we can try to win in our own strength. The world has around us has many strategies for this. Have you ever heard of the power of positive thinking? Where if you think good thoughts, it will attract good vibes and good things will happen to people who think good. Or have you heard of cultivating a positive mental attitude where you just think the good thoughts and life pans out for you if you do that? Now, it's important for us to have a positive mental attitude, I believe. That's important. But just those strategies alone and others like them won't win for us. And Paul talks about that in Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. I could read that passage, but I don't believe I will here for sake of time. Paul talks about somebody who's trying to win on their own strength. And verse 19, Romans 7, verse 19, he says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That's somebody who's trying to win in their own strength. And I think that trying to make your heart clean and pure on your own, trying to do it in your own strength, is like knowing that your tire has a nail in it. It's got a leak. You can drive around looking fine for a while, but the tire is still leaking air. It's still going flat. And somehow, we still manage to be surprised and disappointed when we want to go somewhere and the tire's flat. And somehow we still manage to be surprised and disappointed when we're trying in our own strength to keep our heart pure and we fail. But deep down inside us, we know when we try that, when we use that strategy, we have a problem that we've chose to ignore, just like the nail in the tire that's causing it to go flat. Another way that people try to win on their own is by doing good deeds. Even though I know there's problems in my heart, if I do enough good, maybe it'll just improve things and things will get better from there. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a familiar chapter where Paul writes about charity. I'm going to read you verses 1 through 3. Paul gives a picture of here of somebody who's trying to win by doing good deeds. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity or love in my heart, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And what Paul is telling us here is that good deeds are of no use if my heart isn't right. Let's think about this in a word picture. Think about somebody who's trying on their own. Let's say there's two men, and they meet today at a coffee shop in Jeff City. And both of them need to cross the Missouri River. You all know what the bridge is there at the Missouri River in Jefferson City. There's a long bridge that you go across when you're headed up 54. Both these men decide that, or know that they need to cross the river. But they decide, "I'm not going to use the bridge. I'm going to do this on my own." And they decide that a month from now, we're going to achieve this. We have a month to get ready for it. And Bill, he's lazy. He doesn't try doing good deeds. He doesn't try to improve himself. He just goes home and lives his life. But the other man, George, I'll call him, he is going to win on his own. He's like somebody who's doing good deeds. He changes his routine. He gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he runs 5 miles, trims a few pounds, he eats healthy, gets himself in peak physical shape. And the day comes a month from now when they're going to cross the Missouri River on their own. What happens? Well, Bill, he's not in shape. He's got a few extra pounds. And he goes running to try to jump across the Missouri River, which is about 980 feet, I think. A little less than 1,000 feet there at the Jeff City Bridge. But Bill goes running to cross the river, and he's doing great for a brief and shining moment. But he splashes into the river, or maybe he doesn't even make it to the river. He gets wet. He doesn't cross the river because he's trying in his own strength. Now, what happens to George, the man who was really trying hard? Well, George, he gets a run for it. I don't know if it's a 5 mile run. I wouldn't go that far because you don't need that much momentum. But George is in peak physical condition. He's been practicing. He gets a run for it. And his brief and shining moment lasts 2 seconds longer than Bill's. And he ends up in the river too, because he's trying in his own strength. And there's this perfectly good bridge over here that they could have crossed the Missouri River on, but they decided they're going to do it in their own strength. And it doesn't work. And my point here is that we can't win in our own strength. It takes a power beyond us to win, to have a clean heart, and to have a healthy heart. So how can I make my heart healthy again? You know, a flashlight can't charge its own battery. If I turn this flashlight on all day, it's going to go dead. You and I need external help to heal our own hearts. We can't heal our hearts on our own. And this brings me to my third and final main point this morning, and that is that healing comes from surrendering your heart to God. You know, a healthy heart is a heart that is transformed by God. And I can't think of a more beautiful, simple prayer than what David prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10, where he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart. And that's a prayer that each of us need to pray if we want to have a healthy heart, if we want to have a heart that makes right choices, that produces right actions and right words. We need to pray that prayer and allow our heart to be transformed by God and allow God to renew a right spirit within us. Allowing God to cleanse your heart and renew your spirit in you is like a flashlight getting a brand new set of batteries. It's charged up. It's the first requirement for having a healthy heart, and that is allowing God to transform it. Another step in having or getting a healthy heart, we find in 1 Corinthians 13 here again. I don't know if you're still there with me, but you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. And the point here is that a healthy heart has true charity for others. The actions that consistently come from a healthy heart are only possible when that heart is transformed by God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. You think about this as I read. Are these things that Paul lists here something that comes out of a heart on its own? Or do they come from a heart that's transformed by God? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." As I read those verses, I know that those aren't things that come from my heart unless God has transformed my heart. Those are actions that come from a heart that is transformed by God and is made healthy by God. A healthy heart has true charity for others. You turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 8. There's a verse here that I'd like to pick out, a very common verse, a well-known verse. How is your heart healed? Well, by surrendering to God, by allowing it to be transformed by God, by allowing God to give you true charity for others. And here in Philippians 4:8, heart is transformed by thinking on good things. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." You know, the thoughts of a healthy heart are only possible when God has opened your eyes to see true beauty. We aren't capable of thinking about only good things, pure things, virtuous things, without God transforming our hearts. For some reason, humans are fascinated by bad things, by tragedies, by bad news. Those are the headlines that grab attention. But a heart that's transformed by God, and a healthy heart, thinks on good things. It thinks of things of beauty. And that can only happen when God opens your heart, opens your eyes to see the beauty around you, to see true beauty, to see the good, the lovely things in life, and not just the bad things. And finally, a healthy heart is focused on things of heaven and not of earth. For this, you can turn with me to Colossians 3, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Those verses talk about a heart that sees, that is focused beyond the things of earth. And the choices that come from a heart that is focused on things beyond the here and now are made in light of eternity. The choices that come from our lives when we're transformed by God are choices that are made in the light of eternity. Healing comes and a healthy heart comes when we surrender our heart to God and when we focus it on things of heaven, when the heart sees the good, the lovely things that God has given to us. And when that heart opens to have true charity for other people. So may God bless you, each of you, as you go about your lives this coming week. Remember to keep your heart with all diligence, because that heart determines the course of your life and it defines the person that you are. You know, as you think in your heart, as I think in my heart, that's the person I am. The thoughts, the actions, the choices that you make in this coming week are going to define you. They're going to define your character. And I'd like to close with a proverb that's attributed to a Chinese philosopher. His name is Lao Tzu. But I think it goes well with the thoughts that I had this morning. You may have heard it before. Proverb says, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Let's kneel for prayer.